WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God, as we together worship God through studying His Word, and we worship God through doing what He says. Remember, Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's what we're going to do. We're going to hear Him today. Lord God, I pray we'd all have open ears to hear today. Speak to us, Lord, through Your Word, and help us to be doers of Your Word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. This is WGOD Radio. Our message today is we're going back to reading someone else's mail here on WGOD. This time it's going to be the pastor of the church at Sardis, known in history, or the church that went down in history, as the Dead Church. So this is where we're at. We'll be listening to this today and tomorrow. In a couple weeks, we'll be back again on Wednesday nights. I'm excited about that. Wednesday nights at the church, we'll be starting the book of Romans verse by verse, Wednesday, September the 8th. That's the Wednesday after Labor Day. More on that as that time unfolds. Here today, though, and first, too, I invite you out to church this weekend. If you're looking for a church, if you're new to the area, or if you like this program, I invite you to come out to Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. The live feed, if you want to watch it online, is at 10:35 Eastern time here. That'll kick off either by downloading the Island Community Church app, which is Island Community Church, FL, or the Facebook page, Island Community Church. It'll turn on live at 10:30. You can watch the whole service. You can sow your tithes or offerings into there, make a donation to the church, help us continue to do what we do, getting this gospel message and these programs of teaching the truth of the Word of God, pulling no punches here, teaching the whole counsel of God wherever we can. Okay, we're going to start with one of my favorite songs from my associate pastor and my worship leader. And this song is called "I Made It to Arlington." And from there, we'll get into here today and we'll wrap up tomorrow, the Dead Church.
No man back in my hometown, they gave me this plot of land. Me and some other men for job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. The man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up the flag and told my mom and dad, "I'm proud of your son." And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. And I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. And I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. When we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it costs to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the day that I came in, and it gave me the chills when he clicked his heels and saluted me. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. And I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. One of the chosen ones, I made it to Arlington. I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. And I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. And I can rest in peace. I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington.
Now today we're going to travel 30 miles southeast from Thyatira, where we left off, home of the corrupt church, to the city of Sardis, to a church that historians remember as the dead church. Nobody wants to be a member of a dead church, unless, of course, you're just going through the motions, or you just don't give a rip, either about God or about his kingdom, or about righteousness, or you don't have the Holy Spirit. I mean, remember what we looked at last week? Remember when the Lord said, I am he that searches reins. I love the way the King James says reins. We've other translations, I am he that searches hearts and minds. The word for reins is intestines, is what that word means. I am he that searches your intestines. You know when we say, well, I've got a gut feeling about something. He searches even that. I got into a lovely discussion with a family member who wouldn't talk to me any longer after I pointed out to her that her mainline beloved Christian denomination was firing pastors that held to the belief that marriage is between a man and a woman. Is this what we've come to, church? And her mainline beloved Christian denomination decided to fight Israel instead of fighting sin and spreading the gospel. I mean, talk about being deceived. When your mission for a denomination is to fight Israel instead of preaching the gospel, you've missed it. That's not what we're here for. We're here to preach the gospel. Now, when I confronted this family member with this evidence, she decided, now see if you can relate if this has ever happened to you. She decided it was easier to alienate me and blame me for turning her world upside down than remove their membership from a dead church that's firing pastors who believe the Bible. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever lost a family member for standing up for and believing the truth of the Word of God? See, now that was her choice, was willingly stay in a dead church because of tradition. Has that ever happened to you before? Or do you know people? So many of us have family members that are Catholic. Me, Esposito, I mean, most Italians are Catholic. We come from years and years and years of Catholic tradition. And my dad's father didn't speak to him for the rest of his life for taking us out of that tradition. Because that's a dead church. When you don't follow the word of God, you're a dead church. When you don't follow this book, you are a dead church. How about you? What would you do if you found yourself in a dead church? Now, don't be deceived. A dead church is not dependent by how many people you see sitting in it. That's not what makes up a dead church. A dead church is what comes out of the pulpit. That's what makes a dead church. And the message that the church preaches and the things that the church puts up with, like Israel. Read what happened when the glory left the temple. It wasn't because how many people were there. It's because of what they were allowing inside of its doors. Not by how many people. Not in this church here we're about to look at either. We're in Sardis. Let's see how this church went down in history as the dead church. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Now, unto the angel, remember, Greek word angelos, messenger, I believe it's pastor. Now, to the messenger of the church in Sardis, right? Remember, this is Jesus Christ dictating a letter to the apostle John, who's writing it down. Now, you write this to the pastor of the church at Sardis. Thus says he that has the seven spirits of God, or we could say the sevenfold spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in his perfection. Thus says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works, or I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. All right, how did this church go down with the name of dead? He called them dead, not me. Not the New King James translators. The Son of God calls them a dead church. I know thy works. Thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. Again, once again, the Lord starts the letter with a description of himself. Thus says he that has the seven spirits of God. I think that should be translated the sevenfold spirit of God. Remember, seven is a number of perfection in the Bible and in the book of Revelation. Seven is all over that book. 7 years, a series of seven judgments. So we got, thus says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Meaning this is Almighty God the Son speaking here, not E.F. Hutton. When God speaks, people listen. Thus says the one who personally sent the Holy Spirit here to earth to begin his ministry on the day of Pentecost. Thus says the one that holds the pastors in his very hands. Remember, the seven stars are the pastors or the messengers of the seven churches, he told us in chapter 1. Thus says the Son of God. Next we see that the people in the dead church are deceived. They're dead and they don't know they're dead. They think that they're okay, but they're not. Again, what's that proverb, Darren? 14:12, isn't it? There is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. This church thinks that they're okay, but they're not. They think that they're alive, but they're not. Again, verse 1. These things says he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you've got a name that you live, but you're dead. So we said that they had a name that they live. In other words, the church at Sardis had a killer reputation that they were alive. Can't you see it now? Come to the first church of the local heretic, where our worship is alive. That's all over everywhere. That's every street corner. I hear it on the radio countless hours. Except they don't say the first church of the local heretic. But they say, come here, our worship is alive. We read your palms, we'll tell you your fortune, and whisper sweet things in your ear. I was gonna ask Carol for some. I wanted to stash some red paint back here and ask you if you wanted your palms red. I'll make them red for you. The reputation of this church is fantastic. The people there think everything is okay because attendance is way up. They think everything is okay because tithes are way up and there's all this money in the bank account. They think it's okay because they got the biggest youth program in town. And Jesus says, you've got a name that you live, but you're dead. Let me say this. If the Holy Spirit is not producing transformed lives, then you are in a dead church. That's how you tell the difference between being in a dead church and a live church. And that's the Holy Spirit's working in all the members and transforming your lives. Have to ask yourself that. Is the Lord working on you? No, matter of fact, ask me. I'll be the judge of most of you that I see all the time. I'm your doctor here. I'll help you. What does it say? He's transforming us from glory to glory. Are you more like Jesus now than you were last May 27th? Do you hate sin more now than you did last year? Are you sinning less now than you did last year? Do you know the Word of God more now than you did last year? If the answer is no, then let's make it right today. That's always the answer, church. There's no condemnation. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you've done it wrong, we make it right today. That's all. We repent and make it right. If the answer is yes, praise God, it should be yes, and I believe it is. I believe it is. Mostly everyone in this church I can vouch for, except for Jackie is their first time here. Mike I've known for years. Most people here are much closer to God than they were before. And they look much more like Jesus than they did before. The Holy Spirit's at work in everyone here. See, sometimes we look at a church and how big it is, how many people were coming, and they say, I can hear it now in the parking lot. Oh, Mabel, that's a dead church. It's not dead by how many people are inside. It's dead by what comes out of the pulpit. If I tell you it's all right to sin, that's what Israel did. And they put up with sin in the temple. And Ezekiel saw the glory of God leave and depart. It's sin that makes the glory of God leave. Not how many people are here. Not how much money's in the bank. God will still bless a church that's doing it right. You know, I'll say that until my dying breath here in this church. God will still bless a church that's doing it right. That calls sin, sin. That preaches the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation, that still gets up and tells you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that. He says, I know your works, but this time it's not in a good way. This time he's turning around. Now remember, before he complimented the last church for their works. Here he's going to turn it on them this time. He's going to turn around what they thought as a positive because they were deceived into a negative. I know your works. As I look at this church, it seems to me that they've got no commendation here, only a warning and a correction. Verse 2. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready or about to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. My translation says, and the New American Standard, I have not found your works perfect before my God. I love the way the New American Standard reads here. In verse 2, it says, wake up! Exclamation point. This is what Jesus says to the dead church today that's putting up with sin inside of its doors. He says, where's the dog? Out there? Wake up, people! Wake up! Strengthen the things that remain. This is the word of Jesus Christ to the dead church today. Wake up. Wake up or else. Figure out what you're doing right and build on it. What are you doing right? Where are you lacking? Why are you dead? Let's fix these problems here today. If you're interested, that is. If you're dead, then you just don't care. Unlike the lukewarm church. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. But if you shall not watch, then I'll come on you like a thief, and you will not know. Actually, in Greek, it's you will by no means know. Meaning, here it is, Darren, you can bet your what? You can bet your sweet bippy you're not going to know when this is. Well, it's a double negative in Greek. It's an absolute emphatic. Meaning, I guarantee, as the Louisiana cook would say, guarantee you're not going to know when this is. That's what Jesus says. I guarantee that you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. What's the remedy for a dead church? Notice first, there is a remedy, okay? There is a remedy if you're in a dead church. He wrote this to the pastor. If you're the pastor of the dead church, there's a remedy for it. The first thing is wake up. Out of his own mouth, wake up. Smell the coffee. Time is short. Here in this country, if you think this country can continue like this for two more generations, you are deceived. The United States of America cannot go on for two generations. That's 80 years. You can't go on for 80 years. You can't go on for two generations. It's time for the church to rise up and wake up, he says. It's time to stop playing church. And take your faith seriously. And that is, don't approve of evil. If I die and you got to elect another pastor, don't elect a pastor, don't approve of evil. Don't elect a pastor that doesn't believe the entire Bible is true. And it should be interpreted literally when possible. That's your job when you elect a pastor. Elect a pastor that believes in traditional marriage, that won't marry two men or two women. Did you know now in California, if you went to someone who was a transgender and told them that God loves them, that's punishable by jail now? It is now against the law in the state of California to give hope to a transgender or homosexual. You will be put in jail for it. So that's number one. Wake up. Romans 13:11. Oh, the anti-conversion therapy law is what it's called. Where it's against the law. And I think it's only to children, to those that are under 18 years old. If you go to someone under 18 years old and offer them hope, that Jesus Christ will set you free and that you've been deceived, or anything that you say to someone under 18 years old who is a transgender, you will go to jail for that. Romans 13:11, it says, knowing it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Okay, number two, second remedy for a dead church. Remember. Remember. Remember how it used to be. Remember how it used to be in this country? When every bar and liquor store was closed on a Sunday? What did they call them? Does anyone remember? Blue laws. Yeah. Blue laws. I guess because everyone was blue because they couldn't go out and get some, right? Valentine. It made your day blue. You want to make my day blue? Keep me out of this house. I'll be as blue as they get. Keep me away from my God and in the house of my God. The day after my wife died, there was no place to be other than right here anywhere else would have made me blue except for right here. Because this is where I need to be. Because this is where God is. And this is where I connect with him. And everything is made right. It's right here. I'm going to chain a bed to this pulpit. That's what I've learned. I share it with you. Pastor, your wife died. Why don't you take some time off? No, I know the secret and I share it with you. This is where I need to be. Not somewhere else. Right here. Blue laws. Remember. Remember, God instructed the Jews to erect some stones for a remembrance. So go back to where your stones are. Back to where and when God moved mightily in your life. Remember how it used to be. He's offering some advice on how to get it back if you found that you've lost it. This world wants to take it from you. Your peace, your joy, your devotion, your zeal. Which brings me to number three. Number three, third remedy, if you're in a dead church, get excited again. You are alive at the end of the age. That is exciting news. That you could be alive to see the color of Jesus' eyes? That's exciting to me. How about you? Of all the times you could have lived, from Confucius to George Wash, he's got you alive now at the end of the age? That's exciting news.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
Hey, this is Darrell Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's modern worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
You know, the Bible tells us often to gird up the loins of our mind. Now, what does that mean? Well, in Bible times, the men wore long flowing robes. Now, when a man was going to work, to plow, or to fight, he would take those robes and he would take the loose ends and gird them up and tie a rope around there, just taking those long loose ends and bringing them all together and tying them up tight so it wouldn't trip over them. Now, your mind is like that. You've got a lot of loose ends. And in order to have a quiet time, you have to get mentally tough. When you come to a quiet time, you've got to be serious. Come with anticipation. Come eagerly. Come expecting to receive something. Be tough-minded. Say, I'm coming, Lord. Emotion doesn't really have all that much to do with it. I mean, he's here. He's present. And your emotions don't bring him near. He is near by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what you need to do is to be physically alert, morally pure, and mentally aware.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.